Welcome to episode 334 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Donna, George, and Laura. The world is more than ready to get back to normal. Now that vaccines have started to roll out, we've seen an uptick in bookings and people who are ready to travel. But will it be that simple? Countries will still have to verify that visitors are safe, and talk of a vaccine passport is starting to circulate. This week, we wanted to dive into what that might look like and how it could affect where you're able to go. So let's get started. So this is kind of a hot topic right now. There's a lot of stuff coming out about it.
Yep.
So I don't know. What do you think, Donna? Like, for cruises, do you see them? They're already saying vaccinations are going to be mandatory for adults. Do you think they're going to require some kind of vaccine passport?
Not at first. No, I think that your vaccination card is basically what everybody has. There is no central database as of right now. My husband and I were talking about this specifically, because there's not a global, and it would have to be a global database, not just for the US, because it has to be somewhat attached to the passport system that countries use to let you in the country. So it would be very simple to add it there to actually your passport book that you had your vaccination or something. But again, you'd have to have a database built in order to do that.
Well, they do have this for the yellow card. Do any of you guys, have you ever traveled somewhere that made you do that? Mm-mm. Did you do that, Laura?
Yes. I had to have the yellow card when I went and did service work in Zaire and Kenya and Tanzania.
So that's like for people who aren't familiar, that's from the World Health Organization. Is that correct?
Yes. And I had to have proof of yellow fever, proof of malaria, mm-hmm. proof of tetanus, proof of typhoid, all of that.
So what do you think is different about this vaccine than, I mean, like a vaccine passport versus the yellow card? How do you see it as different, or do you think it's kind of the same thing?
I think the difference is that people aren't used to having to do that for places that are not considered, you know, kind of way off the beaten path. We've gotten out of it, you know, it's a hot topic in many ways. The whole vaccine thing is a hot topic.
Yeah.
You know, and where some people are choosing to not get it, you know, because they don't know enough about it or whatever. And, you know, that I've had friends of mine kind of lecture me on, you know, what mm-hmm. certain doctors are saying and how, you know, vaccines go against things. And I was like, you mean like the measles vaccine? And, you know, how certain doctors are saying that we're going to see a huge resurgence of it because it attacks the wrong things. And I'm like, you know, like the mumps, like, you know, like scarlet fever. Like, so I think that people are not used to having to do this, but
in some ways I'm
grateful for it.
Oh, I'm totally grateful for it. I was so happy to get my first shot, and I'm anxiously awaiting my second so I can be fully protected, well, as fully as possible, like in the 90th percentile. George, you were saying before we were recording that there was an article out today about Governor DeSantis in Florida saying that he would not allow it to be required in Florida.
Yeah, that basically wherever you were going to go, whether it was a theme park or a sports complex or a movie theater, that he would not allow them to require you to present this in order to gain admission. So I'm torn on that one. It's a private company. They have the right to set whatever rules they like or don't like.
That feels like a solution in search of a problem to me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen any private companies say that they would do that. You know, like Disney, for example, has very strict protocols on wearing your mask and, you know, social distancing. And I don't think those are going away just because vaccinations have rolled out. So I think they're going to require that stuff for a while. And I think because of that, they won't have to require a vaccine passport, you know, like,
but let's say they take the opposite route and they say, okay, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. You don't have to social distance, but you do need to prove that you're vaccinated in order to get into the park.
I think it's too hard because for one thing, right now, kids can't be vaccinated. So that's a kind of a big deal. You know, kids go to Disney. Well,
kids under the age of 16.
Right, exactly. So let's like for cruises, you know, right now we've seen Royal Caribbean and Celebrity announced that they're going to resume cruising in the Caribbean, but they're going to home port from other countries. They're going to be in Nassau and other places. And so they're not coming to the United States, which means they don't have to listen to the CDC. And they're requiring all adults to be vaccinated. And then kids who cannot be vaccinated have to have a negative test when they show up. So still no really not a vaccine passport. But I wonder, because I, you know, Iceland is open now to fully vaccinated people. Does anyone know what they're requiring to prove that you've been vaccinated?
It was a little shady, or shady's not quite the right word. A little unclear about, because it was actually two pieces of documentation, but nobody knew what that second documentation piece looked like. And it really was not clear in the article that I read. But you have to understand that, you know, we're talking about the United States. We operate differently, and every country is a sovereign nation, and you have to follow their rules and their laws. And if their laws say you have to have this piece of passport or this documentation or this card or this visa to get into the country, then you have to have it, and or you just don't go.
I mean, there's here's my maybe devil's advocate question, but you know, there are restaurants that require you have a jacket and tie on. And they're not letting you in without a jacket and tie, you know, and you choose whether you're going to go or not going to go.
Yep.
If you want to go in the restaurant, you wear a jacket and tie. You want to go on a cruise, you get a vaccine. Now, yes, they don't have the right. Well, you then go to the beach, or, you know, it's like, where's the difference? And maybe I'm way off in Sillyville, so please hold me accountable, but...
So I can kind of speak to play the devil's advocate and speak to some of the cons. Just, this is not necessarily what I believe, but this is what I've been reading. People have been bringing up. So if you look at the way like minorities have been more adversely affected by COVID anyway, because of the types of jobs they have, or if they're less likely to be able to have a job where they work from home and they have to work in person, you know, maybe not have as good access to healthcare, things like that. Those same barriers might be what stops them from getting a vaccine too. And so the argument is that there could be another group of haves and have-nots. And if you think about the whole world, I mean, the richest nations in the world, like the United States, the UK, the European countries, are the ones that are vaccinating their people. There are a lot of countries that haven't even started yet and are not going to be anywhere near where we are. So it creates these tiers in society where those people will not have the access to travel.
But are those usually the people who are spending money on cruises?
Well, but not even the cruise. Let's just say you want to go to Europe this summer, you know, and you have the money to do it, but you come from a place where you haven't been able to get the vaccine, you know?
Okay. I hear you. I hear that.
I mean, it could be. So that's one of the cons. Another con that I thought was interesting that I read about was those cards everybody is taking a picture of on Facebook, you know, that their passport or their vaccination card, and hey, I got my shot. I mean, anybody could make that card, you know.
They're selling the forgeries.
I mean, yeah, that one, that's a really, I mean, I guess, so then you got to look at the technology that's coming that is being developed. Like IBM is developing an app. There's a IATA travel pass with Virgin Atlantic. There's, you know, stuff like that where they're trying to develop these apps that will track this for you. And This, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I think that, you know, these companies are putting money into this because it might end up being obsolete in 6 months if enough people get vaccinated to where we have herd immunity and then they don't require a travel passport, you know? So it may or may not ever come to fruition. This, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because we're talking a massive undertaking in order to put it into the passport system, you know, that with immigration right. and customs and.
Well, and I mean, people might be skeptical of putting any kind of health information into an app that they download.
That the federal government has control over.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend who lives in Greensboro who's a teacher, and apparently they're asking people, their teachers to, they're requesting that their teachers report if they've been vaccinated or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she is livid. Livid. She's like, it's none of their business.
It's
my decision. It's, you know, she's going off. She's been spewing on Facebook for.
It is a HIPAA violation. I mean, they can't ask, you know, I guess they're asking, but I guess they could ask, but they can't legally demand that you tell them or that you do it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know places are looking at it because, like we were saying, sporting events, concerts, you know, things where there's a lot of people. If we want to get back to that, it might be something that we need to take a look at. And another thing, too, is it could encourage more people to get vaccinated, which would bring us to herd immunity faster.
Well, you know, once again, here's a devil's advocate thing. Mm-hmm. How is riding the subway in New York City any different than going to a sporting event? Are you going to have to show it to ride the subway? Because it's pretty smushy in there.
Well, it's funny you should kind of say that because last night they had the first live concert in Barcelona. And in order to go, they had about 5,000 people go to this concert. You had to have a quick COVID test before you walked in the door, and you had to wear their mask that they gave to you. They found 7 people actually tested positive, and of course they couldn't go, but they had 5,000 people all cheering for this band in Barcelona.
And they were inside.
Yep. Or no, they were, well, they would know it was an outdoor concert, but it was still 5,000 people, and they had a mosh pit.
Oh, ew. I feel like this is making me not want to be close to people. I'm like, I wasn't a hugger before.
But they tested really everybody. Like, and, you know, one of those quick tests right before you walked in the door. And if it came out positive, you didn't get to go in. And if it came out negative, you could go.
But aren't those like not the most accurate, the quick tests? Don't they show false positives and stuff?
I'm not sure of the statistics, but yeah. I mean, it just made it another way that you could actually have a sporting event or a concert or some other way of doing it
right.
without a health passport.
Right. I mean, I guess if you are the type of person who is very gung-ho to get the vaccine, then you're probably not going to mind proving you had the vaccine. I guess the problem will be for people who have a little harder time finding it or are not too sure about it, maybe.
Well, you know, it's, to me, it's not that much different than saying you need a passport. What does your passport say? I mean, your passport doesn't say health information, but it does say I'm a resident of the United States and I'm not going to, you know, I don't have any, you know, you're not allowed to get a passport if you've committed certain crimes and stuff. It's already like you're already having to pay hundreds of dollars in order to travel or to go places or to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, I was a little skeptical personally, but I want to travel more. So yeah. I sucked it up and took it because I got the vaccine because, you know what? I want to go places.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, too, is the same vaccines aren't being rolled out all around the world. You know, different countries have different vaccines. So it could be. maybe I don't know who is going to be in charge of the standard. Is it the World Health Organization, or is it going to be every country has their own different, like Iceland requires this, Canada requires this, you know,
and the
United States can't because you got Governor DeSantis in Florida, who's like, oh, no, no, no. But then you might have, you know, Governor Cooper in North Carolina, who's like, yeah, we want this. Because we saw how that happened, you know, with the like mask mandates and quarantines, stuff like that. It was completely different. Every state was like its own country when that was, you know, when that was all going on.
Yep.
So,
will yeah. it prevent any of you from traveling?
Well, I'm already halfway vaccinated, so it will not prevent me. I'm all about it. I'm counting the days till my whole family is completely done and we can go visit my grandmother. And I haven't seen her in almost 2 years. So that's my goal.
George, did you say something?
Yeah, I've already gotten one of two injections, so yeah. One more to go.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. And I'm not a big, like, I got the flu vaccine for the first time in my life last year. But, you know, I asked, you know, my doctors and my surgeons who were, most of them were involved in the cardiology world at this point, and all of them had gotten it. So I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my daughter's a pharmacist, so once she got it, I figured I'm pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like it's going that way. And I know there's people who have arguments against it, and it is kind of hard to picture how it will be administered. But I think like the cruise lines are well within their rights to say you have to have a vaccine to get on the ship. I guess they're going to come up with a way to make you prove it.
Well, you know, there's passport numbers. Couldn't they do the same thing for vaccine? You know, it's like,
what did they do with the yellow card, Laura? I think you're the only one of us that has that. It's just a card.
Right? Yeah. It was just a card and a hat, but it's stamped by like the health department or a medical official. Okay. There's like a raised seal on it.
Yeah.
And that because that's from the WHO, it's standardized. Right.
Yeah, like the health department in every city can pull up your shot records and print them out.
So that's another point to bring up. The Biden administration, as of right now, is saying they are not going to administer this kind of vaccine passport. They think that private companies should come up with a way to do this. They don't want it to be a government thing. So
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it would the easiest way would be to tie it into immigration.
Well, that's government.
Exactly. That would be the easiest with passport control. That would be the easiest way to standardize
it. I guess. I mean, maybe they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because people don't want to get, like, there's some people who just won't get vaccinated and it's just one more thing to complain about, and then it's going to cost money and where's the money going to come from? And, you know, and then you've got companies like IBM who are already trying to roll something out. So yeah,
well, maybe the companies who are giving the vaccines should have some kind of technology in place.
Well, maybe, but, you know, this was all done so fast that I think just getting the system down where they could get the shots out there was, you know, that was the focus for so long. And then I guess if they're saying that there's going to be enough vaccine by the end of May for everybody who wants it, maybe then they can start focusing on these other issues and kind of backtrack that. But, it's easy to think about, you know, it's easy to say that they should be the ones doing it. But when then you get down to the nitty gritty about it, you're like, oh, how is that going to happen? And who's going to pay
for
that?
Well, don't they have a record somewhere of, you know, it's like, who got it?
Well, that was the thing. We even asked if it was going to be reported to the county health department. Kind of like my kids have their shot records with the county health department.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Walgreens said, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So I went, for me and my husband, we went through Wake Med, which is a big hospital system here. And we have doctors that are with this system. And so we had a chart with them and an online account and stuff. And because we had that, we could go in and just make an appointment through them. My boys didn't have that. They were eligible because they both work in food service. And so we went through Walgreens, and it was kind of night and day, the experience we had. The one I went to for Wake Med, it was like, walk in, give them your name, sit down, they poke you, and then you go sit in this room for 15 minutes. Walgreens, they were trying to get all your information. They asked me for my insurance card. They asked for our prescription card. They said that, you know, there was no billing information on the insurance card. And I was like, well, who are you going to bill? This is supposed to be free. And she said, oh, well, we'll just put you down as uninsured then. That doesn't sound right, you know? So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's not uniform at all. So I don't, and them getting it at Walgreens doesn't mean that their primary care physician knows they had it. They don't know until we tell them, you know. Wake Med knows for me because it's all in my chart, but
yeah. You have like a my chart thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I have. Yeah, but I finally got permission or kind of the go-ahead from my doctors last Thursday morning at like 7:50. At 7:55, I'd made an appointment in the morning, and which was at 8:30 the next day. And they did ask me to put insurance information in. And it was a place about a mile from here. In fact, I was going to walk, but it was pouring buckets of rain. And I filled out my insurance information. It was just, they just wanted your group, you know, your kind of insurance and your number.
Yeah.
And you went in and they called you back and they gave you your shot. And then they asked you to sit for 15 minutes. They didn't police you or anything. They just said, mm-hmm. try and stick around for about 15 minutes. They had chairs lining the hallways and they gave me my card for my next visit, which they said, you need to come back in 28 to 30 days. Here's when your next appointment is. And it was 37 days. I was like, someone can't do their math or something.
You're like, but I guess I'll be okay.
Yeah. So, you know, in, out, a little bit of a sore arm. Keep on going.
So I guess the moral of the story is everybody's kind of doing it. It's a hodgepodge and all the states are still doing it a little bit different. And depending on what county you live in that state. So
Jeff got his the exact same day at a completely different Walgreens and his experience was completely different from mine.
Yeah. I have friends who went to Walgreens and said it was really good. My experience was not that with the boys. We were there a couple hours.
You know, I live in a little bit of a lollipop and candy cane world, you know, where unicorns fly and have rainbow sprinkles on their butt and stuff. But, you know, my hope is that if people are going to Disney World or to Royal Caribbean or places there where there's typically children, that mm-hmm. they would want even more to have the shot, knowing that children can't have it.
Right.
And that, you know, they're going to be around them in a close proximity. Would they not want to protect those said children and right. or other, you know, a lot of the people that I plan travel for, you know, need to be supported medically in one way or another. You know, it's and cruises are very good options for them in travel.
Yeah.
Especially for folks who have mobility issues or, you know, large families who want to go where everybody can access the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for you know, the more vulnerable among us, you know, it's like if this past year hasn't taught us to be a little kinder, then we've missed the point.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of people that miss the point. So right before we were recording, Laura, you were reading off some things that you can get for free.
Yeah.
If you've gotten your vaccine, that was kind of cool. So do you want to enlighten our listeners?
I mean, the first and foremost, I guess, if you're in the South, is if you show a vaccination card, you can get a free donut, Krispy Kreme, every day for the rest of the year.
So just wait for that hot and ready to come on.
Right. Right. The one that I thought was pertinent to what we were talking about tonight was that stay after your second shot, if you take your vaccination card to Staples, they will laminate it for you,
mm-hmm.
which I think is smart any way you got it going, because you know how many times we tip things over or take it in and out or, you right. know, it can get done. What else did we say? There's an arcade place that was giving away free tokens.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there were a myriad of things that.
Oh, didn't you say one was like free popcorn at the movies?
Yep.
Yeah.
A free like big bucket of popcorn.
Like the $20 bucket. Yeah. That's cool.
You go broke if you buy that one.
Yeah, that's the one. Usually you have to decide if you're going to send your kid to college or you're going to buy popcorn at the movies.
Oh, you know what my dad used to do with that?
No, we don't want to know.
He used to go and get like grocery store plastic bags like you would get in the produce section and have them in his pockets. And then he would buy the refillable tub of popcorn and then he'd fill the bags up with popcorn before he left and then go get more. He'd just keep getting more popcorn.
Of course and then he did.
He'd leave with all the popcorn in the big plastic bags?
Oh, yeah. He would carry it out. And nobody, I mean, he's like the type of grumpy old man that people don't argue with him because he gets grumpy, you know, they just, or he'll act like he can't hear them or, you know, something like that. And he'll just be kind of, you know, doing his own thing, take out all the popcorn.
He got his money's worth. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Well, do you guys have any other final thoughts about the vaccine passports? I guess we didn't really come to the conclusion if we see them coming or not. I mean,
I think it's still
maybe really, or maybe it'll be outdated. What's that, Donna?
It's really up in the air still.
Yeah.
I think it's coming. It's just a matter of when and how intrusive it's going to be.
Well, and I think, you know, all I've heard for the past year is how people miss travel and how they're jonesing to go and mm-hmm. how they can't wait and how their life feels empty without travel. So gotta do what you gotta do. You know, yeah. They're not asking you to rip your skin off one piece at a time. They're just asking you to get a vaccine. So mm-hmm. I think it's one of the many, you know, you can't carry liquids on a plane and you gotta get a vaccine. And it's just one of the laundry list of, you know,
yep.
You know, you can't bring your duck as your iguana as your therapy animal. And you know, it's,
Your peacock,
yes.
So I just think it's one of the people have to decide: do I want to travel enough to do this?
And what do you think, George?
I think it's coming. There's just the problem is you can't do it any sort of paper way because it takes too long. You can't say somebody needs to put a special symbol on their driver's license because then every time you get a vaccination, you need a new driver's license.
And the same problem.
And the same problem with a passport. So it's going to have to be some sort of electronic means. And then you run into the issue. Well, what do you do with people that don't have smartphones?
Yeah.
So my parents don't. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, Jeff actually suggested QR codes.
But where?
On it, yeah, you could either get it on your phone or you could get a laminated card. And that could be updated however often it needs to be.
Yeah, I guess. And then whoever's administering it would have it on the back end.
Yep.
You mean those little black and white things? Is that what a QR code is?
Yeah, so you'd have yours and anywhere you went, you show it and they'd be able to scan it and see what vaccines you've had.
God, that's so like barcoding people.
Exactly.
I mean, you might as well tattoo it on you.
Big Brother is watching.
Yeah, they've been watching for a long time.
I mean, you already do it when you get on a plane, though.
Well, and that's what Jeff was saying is that it's everybody has a social security card. Everybody has one, and that's you. It's linked to your taxes. It's linked to your employment. It's linked to your social security. You are on the grid, whether you like it or not.
Oh, you're on the grid with your smartphone.
you're on the grid with Alexa, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man, Alexa's listening to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we get off the phone, we're going to go to our Facebook page, and there's going to be all this stuff about vaccines and QR codes. And
yeah.
And I don't have an Alexa, but it's still going to be there.
Yep.
And I'm not a big vaccination person. I'm not someone who's running out to do everything, but I sure do think it's a big, beautiful world out there. And if it's what I got to do it, then.
My thoughts exactly.
Agreed.
Well, that's all from the traveling perspective. We are ready to travel and we will do whatever it takes.
We are a tough
bunch. I am sympathetic to the cons, though, and the challenges with getting it all done. And I wonder if it is going to kind of take care of itself by us reaching herd immunity. But then I also worry that because, you know, we look at what we're doing in the U.S. and not all countries are as far ahead as us, that we might not get to herd immunity as soon as we'd like. So,
and what, you know, just so we don't leave anybody out in this podcast, when you say herd immunity, what are you referring to with that?
So there's pretty much broad consensus in the scientific community. I think they're saying that we need at least 80% of people ish, you know, around that number, maybe 60, between 60 and 80% probably, to have either had COVID or have the vaccine so that they are immune, so that the virus has nowhere to go. It can't spread anymore because there are not,
there's no host. Hosts. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the issue is the new strains and then the poorer countries that are not able to ramp up. That's why it's so important for other countries like the US and, you know, the EU, the UK, those, you know, like richer countries to share their stock so that we can get more people up to at least, you know, the one shot level and then roll out more vaccine to eventually get everybody fully vaccinated. But I mean, that's how they eradicated, you know, smallpox. It was by sharing the vaccine with the poorer countries, because it doesn't really, it's not like viruses stop at a border, you know, they, that's not how they work. So you have
even viruses like to travel.
Yeah, exactly. They're always looking for new places. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I do feel like it's coming, but there are these other things you got to kind of be mindful of. So, but I see, obviously all of us on this podcast are ready and we'll happily show a vaccine passport if we have to.
Well, I think I, you know, I don't think any of the cruise lines or the CDC is doing anything to be mean to anybody. You know, I think they're genuinely scared about the health of our nation, and yeah, they're trying, they're doing the best that they can at the, you know, this is, we're in unforeseen times and people are just trying to figure this out one day at a time. So,
yeah. And whenever it is, we get past this, it is going to be the roaring 20s. I mean, I think this decade's going to get crazy. Once we're totally past COVID and people can really travel and it'll start opening up again like that. Yeah.
We're going to get jiggy with it.
Yeah. It's going to be great. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.